Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After Midnight.
By the time Dylan was old enough to drive, he had been hearing stories about the old bridge for most of his life. Every small town seemed to have a place like it. There was always some lonely road outside town where something terrible was supposed to have happened, and every generation added its own details until no one knew which parts were true anymore. In their town, that place was a narrow concrete bridge several miles outside the city limits, surrounded by fields and trees with almost no houses nearby. The story Dylan heard most often was that if you stopped your car on the road just before the bridge, turned off the engine, and put the transmission in neutral, the car would begin to move on its own. Some people claimed it rolled toward the bridge. Others insisted it moved away from it. Dylan had even heard a version where handprints appeared on the trunk afterward, although that part seemed to have been borrowed from every other haunted road story in the country. Nobody agreed on why it happened either. One story involved a family killed in an accident decades earlier. Another said a young woman had gone off the bridge during a storm. Logan and Luke had grown up hearing from an older cousin that someone had been struck there while trying to help a stranded driver. Their father dismissed all of it and said the road probably had a slight grade people could not see at night. That explanation never stopped anyone from going. It was the late 1990s when getting to a place like the bridge still required knowing someone who had already been there. There was no GPS giving turn-by-turn directions and no phone in anyone's pocket that could pull up a satellite view of the road. Directions were passed around at school or scribbled on notebook paper, usually involving landmarks that sounded questionable even in daylight. Turn left at the old feed store, go about 3 miles, take the gravel road past the abandoned church. When the pavement starts again, keep going until you see the bridge. Dylan had gotten his license earlier that summer. By September, the novelty of simply being able to leave the house without asking for a ride had not worn off. He had saved enough money from a part-time job to buy an aging sedan that was not impressive by any standard, but it ran reliably and gave him the freedom he had been waiting for. Logan was 17 and already driving too. Luke, his younger brother, was 16 and still waiting to take his test. The three of them had been friends for years, partly because Logan and Luke lived only a few blocks from Dylan and partly because there was not much to do in their town once football games and school activities ended for the evening. The bridge came up one Friday night while they were trying to decide what to do. They had heard that a group from school had gone out there the weekend before and claimed their car rolled nearly 20 feet with the engine off. Dylan immediately said the road must slope. Logan agreed, although he seemed more interested in testing the story than disproving it. Luke had heard enough versions from his brother over the years that he wanted to see the place for himself. None of them treated it as anything serious. They were not ghost hunters, and none would have admitted to being particularly afraid of the bridge. It was simply something people their age eventually did, especially when someone had access to a car and parents who believed they were spending the evening somewhere closer to town. They left shortly after 10. Dylan had written the directions on the back of an old envelope and kept it beside the gear shift. Logan tried to remember the route from what their cousin had told them, although his instructions were slightly different. Between the two, they eventually found the gravel road. The farther they drove, the fewer lights they saw. The last gas station disappeared behind them, followed by a scattering of houses set far back from the road. Soon, there were only fields on either side, occasionally interrupted by trees crowding close to the shoulders. Dylan's headlights illuminated stretches of gravel and dust before everything beyond them disappeared into darkness. Luke joked that this was exactly how every bad decision began, and Dylan laughed, although he had already started paying closer attention to the road. They found the abandoned church without trouble. It was a small white building set behind a rusting fence, dark except for the headlights passing across its boarded windows. According to the directions, the bridge was another few miles beyond it. The road became pavement again, exactly where Dylan had been told it would, and that was when the mood inside the car began to change. Nothing unusual had happened, but the place felt more isolated than any of them expected. Trees grew close together on both sides, creating a dark corridor around the road, and there were no mailboxes, driveways, or porch lights anywhere in sight. Dylan had not seen another car since turning off the highway. When the bridge finally appeared in the headlights, it looked smaller than he expected. The road narrowed before crossing a shallow creek bordered by thick brush, with concrete rails running along both sides of the bridge stained dark from years of weather. A faded warning sign stood several yards before it, and beyond the bridge the road curved sharply enough that the headlights did not reach very far. Dylan drove across once without stopping, and afterward they all laughed, partly because nothing happened and partly because crossing it made the story seem less intimidating. It was just an old, rural bridge. They turned around about half a mile down the road and came back. This time Dylan slowed before reaching it, watching for the place where they had supposedly been told to stop. Logan remembered something about a crack running across the pavement just before the bridge, and when Dylan spotted one that looked right, he pulled over it and stopped. For a moment, all three simply sat there. Dylan had left the headlights on, and the bridge stretched ahead of them in the narrow beam. Logan finally reminded him that the engine was supposed to be off, so Dylan turned the key. The sudden quiet inside the car was more noticeable than he expected. Without the vibration beneath them, they could hear insects outside and the faint sound of water somewhere below the bridge. Dylan kept one foot firmly on the brake while he shifted the transmission into neutral. Luke leaned forward from the back seat to watch the road through the windshield, and Logan stared toward the bridge, waiting for something that all three of them still expected not to happen. When Dylan lifted his foot from the brake, the car stayed exactly where it was. Several seconds passed, and Logan started laughing, ready to declare the whole thing exactly what they had thought it was. Then Dylan felt the car release beneath him. It was subtle at first, barely more than a slight movement, but all three of them felt it. Before it could go more than a few feet, Dylan put his foot back on the brake. No one laughed this time. The car had rolled forward toward the bridge. Dylan kept his foot on the brake while Logan leaned toward the windshield, staring at the road ahead. The movement had been slight, but all three of them had felt it. Dylan had felt the car release beneath him, and Logan and Luke had shifted forward in their seats at the same moment. Logan was the first to offer an explanation. The road probably sloped toward the bridge just as their parents and other adults had always claimed. At night, with only the headlights illuminating a narrow stretch of pavement, there was no good way to judge the grade. It was exactly what Dylan had expected to happen before they came, and hearing it now made the experience seem much less mysterious. He restarted the engine, backed away from the bridge, and pulled onto the shoulders so they could look at the road more closely. The three of them walked back toward the crack where they had stopped. To their eyes, the pavement looked almost level, although Logan pointed out that it would not take much of a slope to move a car in neutral. Dylan agreed, and within a few minutes, they had mostly convinced themselves that the legend had a perfectly ordinary explanation. They still wanted to try it again. Dylan returned the sedan to the same spot, shut off the engine, and shifted into neutral. This time, Logan watched the edge of the pavement through his window while Luke leaned forward from the back seat. When Dylan lifted his foot from the brake, the car remained still for several seconds before beginning to roll toward the bridge again. That seemed to settle it. The road sloped in that direction. Luke was the one who suggested turning the car around. If gravity was pulling them toward the bridge, then the car should still move toward it, no matter which direction they faced. Dylan drove across, turned around farther down the road, and came back until they were as close as possible to the same location. With the car now facing away from the bridge, Dylan repeated the routine. Nothing happened at first. They waited long enough that Logan began joking about having found the only flat spot on the road. Then the sedan began moving forward, away from the bridge. Dylan stopped it immediately. The three of them sat quietly for a moment, trying to decide what that meant. Logan suggested Dylan had not parked in exactly the same place, which was possible. The road was uneven, and in the darkness there was no way to be certain. The tires were positioned within inches of where they had been before. So they tried again. Dylan turned around and lined the car up facing the bridge. This time he used a reflector post beside the road as a reference and stopped with the tires directly across the same crack in the pavement. He shut off the engine, put the transmission in neutral, and slowly lifted his foot. The car remained still. Then it began rolling backward, away from the bridge. Dylan hit the brake harder than necessary, jolting everyone forward. For the first time that night, no one laughed. They had now watched the same car move in different directions from nearly the same place. Dylan still believed there had to be some combination of uneven pavement and small differences in where he stopped, but the explanation was becoming harder to accept. Luke was ready to leave. Logan wanted to try once more, arguing that if they carefully chose one position and stayed there, they might finally understand what the car was doing. Dylan reluctantly agreed. He eased forward until the sedan was sitting several yards closer to the bridge. From there, the headlights illuminated most of the concrete rails and the dark road curving beyond them. Before Dylan turned off the engine, Luke said he thought he had seen something move near the bridge. The three of them stared ahead. Luke pointed toward the right side of the railing and said it had looked like someone standing there, but nothing was visible now. Dylan thought it was probably brush moving in the headlights or a shadow from one of the trees. He shut off the engine, and almost immediately something struck the underside of the car. The sound was heavy enough that all three jumped. Dylan turned the key, but the engine failed to start on the first attempt. Before he could put the transmission into drive, the sedan jerked backward. His foot was still firmly on the brake. Logan grabbed the dashboard while Luke fell back against the seat. Dylan pressed harder on the pedal, convinced that he must somehow have eased off without realizing it, but the car moved backward again before suddenly stopping. For several seconds, Dylan remained frozen with both hands gripping the steering wheel. Something had changed inside the car. Later, none of them could explain it without sounding strange, but all three remembered the same feeling. It was more than fear. The moment the car moved backward, each of them became certain they needed to leave. No one wanted another test. Dylan shifted into reverse and backed away until he found enough room to turn around. Once the bridge disappeared from the headlights and they were moving toward town, the tension slowly began to ease. Nobody had much to say. And for the first several miles, they listened to the tires against the road and watched for the familiar lights of the highway. It was Luke who finally broke the silence. Just before the car had lurched backward, he had seen something again. This time, he was sure it had not been a shadow beside the railing. He believed someone had been standing in the middle of the bridge directly in front of them. Dylan and Logan had seen nothing, but neither of them suggested going back to find out. They were several miles from the bridge before any of them felt comfortable talking about what had happened. Logan was still trying to find an explanation for the car. He pointed out that the pavement near the bridge was old and uneven, and Dylan admitted that even using the reflector post as a marker did not guarantee they had stopped in exactly the same place every time. Luke said very little. He remained turned toward the rear window, watching the darkness behind them. None of them could explain the final movement. Dylan knew his foot had been on the brake. He could still remember pressing harder as the car moved backward beneath him, and he knew the difference between a vehicle rolling freely and what he had felt. It had seemed almost as though the sedan had been pushed. Even more difficult to explain was the feeling that had come with it. The three of them had wanted to leave at exactly the same moment. There had been no discussion and no attempt to prove the legend one more time. Whatever curiosity had brought them to the bridge had disappeared. By the time they reached the highway, they were beginning to settle down. Lights from an occasional farmhouse appeared again, and another car passed in the opposite direction. Dylan turned on the radio mostly because the silence inside the sedan had become uncomfortable. A few minutes later, they heard sirens. At first, the sound was distant. Then an ambulance passed them, heading toward the road they had just left, followed closely by a sheriff's vehicle. All three watched the flashing lights disappear behind them. Logan wondered aloud whether something had happened near the bridge, but Dylan kept driving. None of them wanted to turn around. They learned what happened the following morning. A pickup truck had crashed at the bridge sometime shortly after they left. According to what spread around town, the driver had been coming from the opposite direction and entered the curve too fast. The truck crossed the center line near the bridge, struck one of the concrete rails, and came to rest partly across the roadway. The driver survived, although he was taken to the hospital. Dylan read the short article in the local newspaper twice. The timing bothered him more than anything else. If they had continued with their experiment for another few minutes, or if Dylan had decided to drive across the bridge instead of backing away, they could easily have been approaching it when the truck came around the curve. The road was too narrow near the bridge for either vehicle to have much room to avoid the other. When he told Logan and Luke, neither reacted with surprise that they had already heard. For the first few days, the three of them talked about the bridge constantly. They compared what each had seen and felt, trying to reconstruct the night in exact order. Dylan remembered the car moving backward while his foot was firmly on the brake. Logan remembered the sudden conviction that they had to leave. Luke remained certain he had seen a figure standing on the bridge immediately before the final push. Their details did not match perfectly, but none of them expected them to. What they agreed on was enough. Something had kept them from crossing that bridge. When other people heard the story, however, almost everyone had an explanation. Logan and Luke's father said the road had fooled generations of teenagers and that the crash had been an unfortunate coincidence. Dylan's father suggested the sedan might have rolled despite pressure on the brake if one tire had been sitting in a rut or on loose gravel. Friends at school laughed about Luke's figure on the bridge and told him he had probably been looking at a reflector or one of the concrete posts. Someone even drove out during daylight and poured water across the pavement to prove which way the road sloped. The water ran toward the bridge. That became the explanation everyone preferred. Dylan admitted it explained the first time the car moved. It might even explain some of the other movement if they had not parked exactly where they thought they had. It did not explain everything. If gravity had been pulling the sedan toward the bridge, he could not understand why it had rolled away from it. He could not explain the heavy blow beneath the car or why it moved backward while he was pressing the brake. More than anything, he could not explain why all three of them had suddenly felt the same overwhelming need to leave. For a while, they tried to convince people. They repeated the sequence, described where the car had been parked, and argued that the accident had happened only minutes after they drove away. The more they explained, the more people offered ordinary reasons for every part of the story. Eventually, they stopped trying. None of them returned to the bridge to repeat the experiment. Logan occasionally joked about doing it again, but he never seriously suggested it, and Dylan knew he would not have agreed. Years passed. The three friends eventually moved in different directions, although they stayed in touch. Whenever the old bridge came up, they still remembered the night the same way in all the ways that mattered. They had gone there expecting to prove a hometown ghost story was nothing more than a sloping road. Maybe part of it was. What they could not accept was that everything that happened afterward had been coincidence. By then, they no longer cared whether anyone believed them. People who had never been inside that car could explain the road, the brakes, the darkness, and even the accident if they wanted to. Dylan, Logan, and Luke knew what happened. More importantly, they knew how it felt when something at that bridge told them to leave. And they listened.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.